chapter 8 and Mark chapter 1. We're continuing in our series on Q&A with Jesus, and this morning we come to questions that were posed to him by demonic spirits. We pick up those stories in those two chapters, and we'll look at them in just a minute. This morning we're going to deal with a topic that can, for many people, be considered spooky or weird. Demons and evil spirits are not your average table conversation, I admit that to you. For a number of years, the topic was scoffed at, ridiculed, or just simply avoided, even by those in the church. Unbiased discussion about the paranormal, the supernatural, and the demonic is a relatively new thing for people in the Western world, including Christians. You see, for years, if you study the movement of knowledge and theory and philosophy, for years, the heavy blanket of rationalism and materialism has covered up all reality beyond the five senses and the three dimensions. Slowly now, however, the West is beginning to discover what third world countries have known all along. They're realizing that there are, in fact, beings out there that are more powerful and more intelligent than we are. In this part of the world, demons are called jinn, and people are very, very familiar with them. If you get into any kind of spiritual discussion with the locals and raise the issue, very quickly, the average person will talk, and they know very clearly about the jinn. Two summers ago, I was on a dive trip just off Hurghada, and we were on the boat just a little while when one of the crew members discovered that I was a pastor. He came to me and instantly asked, "Do you know about the jinn?" When I told him that I did, he said, "I have a jinn." I said, "Do you enjoy the jinn? Do you want to have the jinn?" And he said, "No, I want to be free from the jinn, but I don't know how." And he tried this and tried that, and he didn't know how to be free. Well, before the dive trip was over, a couple days later, I had prayed with that man, and Jesus set him totally free. Although the West has long denied the reality of the spirit world, they are now swinging, interestingly, in the other direction. Hollywood has popularized extraterrestrials, and the New Age movement has made it fashionable to talk about spirit guides or even to channel them. Now, in case you're wondering, this idea of channeling spirit guides is simply a cute, modern, culturally correct way to talk about the age-old problem of demonization. It's exactly the same thing. Now, although it is impossible for me this morning in the limited time, to cover all that the Bible teaches on this particular subject, the issue of spirit beings, today's text provides us enough insight, I believe, for us to grasp the essential. And if you're interested, you can pursue the study more on your own. And I'd be glad to help you with that if you want to. But this morning I want you to look at these two passages with me and then we'll examine them. First, Matthew chapter 8. Let's begin reading at verse 28. When Jesus arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, across the Lake of Galilee, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." And so they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Interesting reaction. You see, often it's easier for us to just avoid an issue, to get it out of our sight, than to have to deal with it if we don't understand it. Look at Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had, what does your Bible say? Authority, not as the leaders of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News of him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we examine these ancient stories with universal significance and timeless truth, we ask that you would minister your understanding to us. But more than that, Lord, we ask that we today, every one of us, will be able to leave this place knowing we are walking in your victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I need to give a little backdrop here. Again, I can't cover the whole thing, but let's go back to the beginning. The Bible teaches us that prior to God making physical human beings on earth, he fashioned spiritual beings or angels in heaven. Now, although their created purpose was to worship and serve him, many of them used their God-given free will to rebel against him. Under the leadership of Lucifer, also known to us as Satan or the devil, under his leadership, a group of these angel beings attempted to overthrow God. These rebellious angels were expelled and banished from God's presence. From the point of their sinful, prideful rebellion and banishment, the purpose of Satan and all the other fallen evil angels has always been to get back at God, to undermine his rule, and to mar his glory. If you do not understand what I've covered in that first introductory paragraph, then you'll never fully make sense of God's plan of salvation in the Scriptures or of the big picture of what's happening in this world. This is fundamental to understanding what is going on. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, our first parents, the first human beings, he fashioned them with the purpose of eternal, intimate fellowship with him. He designed us to experience abundant life in wholeness, in richness, in happiness, in spiritual union with him. That's how he designed us. Now think about it. What better way for Lucifer to get back at God than to destroy this beautiful relationship that God designed and intended? And so Satan, disguised as a serpent, tricked Adam and Eve into using their God-given free will to also rebel against God. At that point, the Bible tells us, sin entered the world. Our human relationship with God was severed or broken, and death instantly began its ugly reign. Because humanity was separated from the author of life, death began to permeate every part of our being, beginning with our spirit, which instantly died, and our soul and our body, which began the progressive stages of death, and it went from there on to literally cover everything in our globe. Death has reigned since. If you have ever wondered about the purpose of the devil and all the demons, Jesus stated it very clearly and succinctly in John chapter 10, verse 10, where he said, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy." What is the purpose of Satan and all the fallen angels or demons as they are known? It is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Remember that. He comes to steal. Satan and the demons want to take away from us that which God gave to us. They steal our joy, they steal our peace, they steal our love, they steal our possessions, they rob us of our intimacy with God, they took away our spiritual inheritance, and they fully intend to work hard to keep us spiritually impoverished. They steal truth away from us and make us believe lies. They're rip-off artists, and they are very, very effective. They also come to kill. When sin came, as I said, the Bible clearly states that sin ushered in death. And death has permeated every single aspect of our planet since then. From the ecology to the economy, death and dying are part of our existence. When a loved one dies, when a marriage fails, when a child is sacrificed, or a terrorist unleashes his hate, Satan's killing spree continues to leave its mark. Satan has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Death and destruction are Satan's signature. They are the emblem on his calling card. Whenever you see things being ruined, torn down, demolished, or destroyed, you can always trace his tracks. When you see the moral and ethical base of culture being eroded, check the signature. When you see Christians fighting and churches breaking apart or splitting, when you see families falling apart and marriages being destroyed and children's self-esteem being trashed, look for his initials. You'll find them every time. The gospel texts tell us of demons tormenting a man, of killing a herd of pigs, of violently shaking another man, of throwing a young boy into the fire, of others cutting themselves with knives, and so on. This is his pattern. In my office upstairs, I've got broken hinges on the bottom of one of my cabinets. I purposely leave it that way as a reminder to me and others who ask of it. 6 years ago, they were bust when a demonized man in my office who was sitting across from me in the chairs across from my desk, if you've ever been there, you'll know, it was across here. We were dealing with him. The demons inside him catapulted him off that chair through the air, across my desk, 10 feet across the room, over against the cabinets and bust those doors. Nobody can tell me that the devil doesn't have power. I've seen it. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. And he has many, many different ways of doing it. Jesus declared it very clearly. Those were his three purposes. But that's not where the sentence ends. He said the thief comes to steal, only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but... you know the rest of the verse? I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. Jesus knew very well what Satan's purpose was. He knew exactly what the demons were up to. Interestingly, the demons also knew what Jesus was up to. They knew who he was and what his purpose was. I find it interesting that the demons had perception. You can see it in their questions. In Matthew 8:29, they said, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" In Mark 1:24, they asked, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, I realize that this may not fit your image of Jesus this morning, the nice, kind, loving, gentle Savior. He is that. But the Bible also clearly reveals Jesus Christ as a warrior. In 1 John 3:8, we read these words, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." Say that with me. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Yes, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Yes, he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Yes, he came to lay down his life so we could be saved from our sin and that eternal separation from God could be bridged. Yes, but dear friends, none of that would have been effective if he had not first of all dealt with the instigator of all of that carnage. We could never have gotten beyond death's door if Jesus did not, first of all, get rid of death's author. He had to deal the death blow to him before he could move on and establish our salvation process, which he's given us. And so you see, throughout the Gospels, as you read the story, you see this ongoing power encounter between the demons and Jesus, between Satan and Christ. They're fighting. They're not just fighting over individual cases like the stories we read. They are fighting over the larger issues behind the scenes. In Matthew chapter 8:29, the demon said, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Dear friends, demons know their fate. They know that there has been a day appointed when they will be ultimately bound and cast into the lake of eternal fire. They know that they cannot ultimately win. They know they cannot escape. But that doesn't stop their work. Interestingly, it actually intensifies it. Revelation 12:12 tells us that the devil is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Satan and the demons are working overtime these days, trying to keep people away from God and trying to discourage those who have already discovered his love. Have you ever been discouraged by Satan? Anybody? Well, he's got many, many tactics of how he discourages God's people and keeps them down and puts you down. One of his favorite tactics is he loves to remind us about our past, about our failures, about the mistakes that we've made. You know what it's like. You want to live for God, you blow it, you fail, and Satan comes along and kicks you and says, see, you're no good, you're garbage, you're rubbish, you're no good to God, give it up, throw it in, pack it in. Have you ever done that to you? Dear friends, whenever Satan comes and reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. He's a has-been. He's been defeated. And someday he's going to be judged and bound and thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That's what the Bible declares. Don't let him put you down. He's a defeated foe. The demons ask, have you, the Holy One of God, come to destroy us? And I can almost hear Jesus chuckling in his spirit. You got that one right. Have you come to destroy us? You bet I have come to destroy you. That is your fate. Absolutely. Your destiny, demons. Your destiny, Lucifer, is destruction. I want you to notice next the power involved in this battle. Make no doubt about it, dear friends. We are not dealing here with simply human forces. We're not dealing here with human psyche, being able to psych ourselves up and doing something. We're dealing with something here that is more dangerous than a nuclear blast and far more pervasive than any ideology or philosophy. The devil and his demonic counterparts have incredible power. No question about it. They are supernatural beings with supernatural power. There is no way, therefore, that we can take them on ourselves. No way. There's accounts in the Bible where humans tried to do that and they were pounced upon and it was not a pretty sight. Don't try and do that. Those who try to take on demonic powers in their own strength or their own wisdom can be seriously hurt. But, and hear this but when they are confronted by Jesus, these powerful supernatural beings become cowering wimps, retreating loudmouths, and groveling beggars. You hear it? They know who Jesus is. They know what he can do to them, and they know what he will do to them. And they know that their time is short, and they are scared. You hear it? They're scared. 6 years ago, there was a rash of demonic activity in this community. Most of you were not here at the time. Some of you were. I already referred to one incident that took place in my office. I had no sooner finished dealing with that guy in my office, where he was also set free, by the way, when the phone rang and somebody called me and begged me to come to the house. I went over to this house, and there was another teenage girl laying on her bed. There was about 10 different people around her trying to hold her down. And she was literally tossing them around like they were rag dolls. Supernatural strength. Her parents were up against the wall, eyes like this, in horror, wondering what was happening. I walked in. I prayed a prayer of protection over the room and over the people involved. I told the people to stand back. They were glad to do so. And I simply commanded that demon in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of that girl and to leave her unharmed. Her body went instantly limp, and she was set free by the name of Jesus. You may say, how is it that with a simple command, demonic powers must leave? Why? Because of Dave? Why? Because of my position as a pastor? Why? Because I did some religious incantation? No! The reason those demons had to leave was because they were commanded not in my name, not in my wisdom, not in my strength, not in my power, not in my experience. They were commanded in the name of Jesus Christ. And they have to obey him. They have to obey him. Demons know Jesus. They'll never forget him. When Christ died on the cross, Satan and the demons, as already was referred to this morning by Cheryl in her song and in her prelude to the song. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan and the demons thought they had scored the greatest all-time victory. But while Hades rocked with their frenzied party celebrating the death, Jesus walked in fully alive. Talk about crashing a party. He stripped Satan of all of his authority and power. He took back the keys to death and hell, which Satan had stolen from Adam originally. He led the righteous to glory. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And he rose again from the grave in absolute, complete, total triumph. It is this resurrected Jesus who said, "All authority." How much? All authority in heaven and on earth and under the earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you, and I will be with you. I, the one with all authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. I, the one who am the demon basher. I am the one who makes Satan flee at the sound of my voice. I will be with you. I'll be with you. Hallelujah. You see, we go forth in ministry. We go forth to touch people's lives, not in our wisdom, not in our strength, not in our abilities. We go forth and we hold forth Jesus. He is the one who sets people free. He is the one who brings people life. He is the one who was able to release them from the power of the enemy. It's Jesus, not us. It is this all-powerful, resurrected Jesus that we come to worship today. It is the Holy One of God, this demon demolisher, this one who calls us, this one who calls us out of sin. He is the one who calls us forth, come out of your sin. Leave the lies that you believed. Leave the bondages that have bound you. Leave those things that have kept you in a life position less than God created you for. He calls us out of that. He calls us out of Satan's bondages, out of his lies, out of his rebellion, out of our rebellion. He calls us out of our pride. He calls us out of death and every form of it. He calls us to himself. It is this Jesus with all authority over all demonic powers, in all places, at all times. It is this Jesus who invites us to join him in his victory. In his victory. And it is this Jesus Christ who is here today for you and for me. He's here. I don't have time this morning to explain how people get demonized. There are many strategies that Satan uses for that. And don't be scared of the word demonized. People get confused over the terminology in the scripture, if it's oppression or possession or this or that. The one word is always used when it's talking about demonic activity. And everybody from Jesus to St. Paul to all those, everybody's demonized. In the sense that they are trying their best to do whatever they can to move us away from God, to blind us to his glory, to get us to trust ourselves rather than him, to get us to rebel against God and follow our own way. That's their strategy. That will always be their strategy. Remember that. I don't have time to talk about all those processes that the devil uses, how he gains territory or whatever. The most important thing that I want to leave with us this morning coming from these texts is this. Regardless of how he has tricked us, regardless of how we have bought into his lies, regardless of what place we have given him in our lives, regardless of how much bondage we are in, regardless of the degree, regardless of all of that, the news today is it doesn't have to continue. We can be free. That's the news. Jesus came to break those bondages and to set people free. And so today Jesus invites you and me to join him in his absolute total victory. And if you're here this morning and there's something in your life that you just feel that the devil's been playing around with you, maybe it's an area of bondage, maybe it's an area of frustration, whatever it is on the full spectrum, if you want to walk into the full victory of Jesus today, if you want him to set you free from Satan's tentacles, if you want him to set you free to be what he created you to be and to walk in that wholeness, then I'm going to ask you, while we sing our closing hymn, to just get up and come right over here to the front. And after the service is dismissed, we're going to have a time of prayer for you. We're going to sing in closing the hymn 473, Victory in where? In Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Let's sing that together.